Good morning, and welcome to Beyond the Gates, a tradition of innovation. We are on season three this morning, and I'm delighted to be with Dr. Ben Parsons. He's the director of the ERDC DoD Supercomputing Resource Center with the Information Technology Laboratory, otherwise known as ITL. And we're going to be talking about the power of ERDC supercomputing. Good morning, Dr. Parsons. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
Doing great. And thank you again for being here. And we're going to just dive on into you. Tell me about yourself and your background.
So I'm a computer engineer, and I was studying computer engineering really when I learned about ERDC. Through one of the DoD programs that helps, you know, recruit people to work for the DoD. And so at the time, I was in grad school studying computer engineering. I didn't really have a focus on supercomputing or much of an interest in that, but I ended up, you know, finding ERDC, getting paired with ERDC as part of this program, and then, you know, working in the center. And then through that, that's really what helped grow my interest in supercomputing. And so...
Did you start out as a student with ERDC? Is that how you started? Or what opened the door about ERDC to you?
Yeah, so it was the DoD SMART program.
Okay.
And that's a DoD-wide program where, mm-hmm. you know, it pairs students with different sponsoring facilities, mm-hmm. Then helps fund the students', you know, education while they finish out their degree, and then they work for the sponsoring facility afterwards.
Okay.
So I was just starting grad school when I got paired with ERDC. So I was able to shift a lot of my PhD work, to supercomputers and some of the communication patterns on the computers.
So where did you go to school?
I went to school at Purdue.
Okay, great. Awesome. So is that where you got your PhD also?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that's great. Okay. So what is your role at ERDC?
So I'm the director of the ERDC DoD Supercomputing Resource Center, or the DSRC. This is actually a new role for me. I started in this position last Monday.
So Super new. Okay.
But I'm really familiar with the center. When I first started working at ERDC, I worked in the center. I did that for a number of years before moving to what we call the program office, which is associated with the center too, and some of the DoD management of it. And then now I'm back as the director of the center. So I'm really excited.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
So what exactly is the DSRC at ERDC, and what is its mission?
Yeah, so the DSRC at ERDC, it's really part of a DoD-wide enterprise that provides supercomputing resources to researchers. So, you know, across the DSRC, there's five different centers, and this is one of the five. So we provide supercomputing resources to researchers. And the reason we do this is a centrally operated facility is that supercomputers are hard to run. If every researcher that needed to use one had to stand it up on themselves and operate it, right, that would be an insurmountable task. And so we provide these resources when researchers think that they need a supercomputer for their project. There's a process where they go and they ask for a certain amount of resources. And then really any researcher is capable or able of, you know, getting these resources to use.
Great. It just sounds so, I guess, so important. I mean, super. It's like a Superman. It's like fantastic. What makes it so super?
So I guess the difference between a supercomputer and a regular computer, the way they're designed, at least nowadays, is, you know, the core unit, we call them like nodes, mm-hmm. but it's really not that much different than a computer you would have at home. There's a lot more cores. Our new ones have like 192 cores per mm-hmm. node, a lot more memory, really high performance, but the fundamental kind of pieces are the same. And then what makes them super is you take a lot of those, you take thousands of them, put them all together in one system, and connect them all with a really high-speed network so they can talk to each other really quickly and they can all work on the same problem simultaneously.
Sounds pretty super.
It is.
I'm Annette Kirkland. Beyond the Gates continues in a moment. You're listening to News Talk 107.7.
John Houston's Good Spirits and Fine Wine has a fine idea for Christmas gift giving. Personalize the labels on wine bottles. Give bottles of wine with labels featuring the name of your favorite team, your favorite person, or whatever that imagination of yours comes up with. Gift sets available too. And here's big news. John Houston is now a wine wholesaler. If your business sells wine, you're going to love John Houston's wholesale prices in the old Adolph Rose building next to the BB Club. John Houston's Good Spirits and Fine Wine.
Clayton, what was it you wanted to ask me about your papa?
When did papa start selling GMC pickup trucks and SUVs?
And Clayton, I'm glad you asked. For nearly 35 years, George Carr has been dedicated to giving our customers the best GMC sales and service. Right now, the 2023 GMC Sierra has up to $6,000 in rebate.
Dad?
Yes, son?
Do we still sell vehicles to customers the way Papa did?
Absolutely. You see, at George Carr, we take great pride in selling you a newer pre-owned vehicle. From the process of trade-in to the purchase of a new vehicle, we make sure every deal is honest, fair, and without any of the nonsense you might have experienced at other dealerships.
I'm Presley Carr. Your trust and support are what drives us to provide the best sales and service in the business. We truly appreciate your loyalty, and we look forward to serving you in the future. Thank you for being part of our extended GMC family.
And remember what Papa always said.
George Carr, where you can expect a great deal.
Welcome back to Beyond the Gates. You're listening to News Talk 107.7. So if you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Dr. Ben Parsons. He's the director of the Erdic DoD Supercomputing Resource Center. And we're talking about the power of Erdic supercomputing. And this department is in the Information Technology Laboratory, otherwise known as ITL. So how does supercomputing support the Department of Defense's research efforts and the warfighter?
So supercomputing is really important for Department of Defense research and development of weapon systems. Almost any weapon system that the DoD uses has some sort of like modeling and simulation incorporated into like the design or maintenance of it. And so, some of the things supercomputers are good at is we call it, computational fluid dynamics. And so air is a fluid here. And so when you're designing an airplane, right, how does the air move over that wing? How does the air move around helicopter rotor blades? Those are all things you can simulate really effectively on the computers. You can also do a lot of structure simulation, how buildings are designed and how strong they are, and then how, different weapons have effects on those structures. That can all be simulated. Molecular dynamics, so trying to understand new materials and the properties of those materials, like on a molecular basis, that's all simulated on the computers. And then other things, like even just like mobility, how, tank treads interact with different types of surfaces. You can simulate all that. And then when you're able to simulate it, a lot of these things, they're types of tests that you could run in real life. The problem with doing them in real life is that, it takes a lot of time.
I was going to say time was probably a problem there. Absolutely.
No, there's time, the money it costs to do some of the physical tests, and then just there's certain things that you can't actually test, with a real test because the environment's a little too complex. And so what happens, in practice is, it's not just simulation or just physical testing. You're doing both of them. You're testing certain things, seeing how that compares to the simulation, using the simulation to decide what to test next. And so it's a real cycle that leads to better designs of systems.
One thing at Erdic, it's all about the data. All about the data. So defense research is ever-changing. How has Erdic's supercomputing infrastructure evolved over the years to meet these evolving needs?
Yeah, so I guess I can think of a few different changes that have happened on the systems. In recent years, there have been a lot more GPUs put on the systems that are used for data processing as well as like data analytics. We've seen a growing demand in that. And just how we've been treating data, we've been looking at that differently recently. We used to buy like one computer with one highly integrated file system to store that data. But now we've been looking at pulling some of that apart and managing the data separately because you hear about all the AI and machine learning and, mm-hmm. and all that stuff. Those people treat their data a little bit differently than our traditional users. And so we've been adjusting to meet some of that. And then just at Erdic in particular, we've just had a huge growth in demand and a growth in our facilities to meet that demand. We currently have about 35,000 square feet of raised floor space for the computers. We have about 19 megawatts of backup generators for mm-hmm. the computers in case the power cuts out. There's been a lot of facilities improvements in recent years to help meet that growing demand.
And it's just every technology and everything else just has to be supported. So can you share some notable success stories or achievements facilitated by Erdic supercomputing capabilities?
Yeah, definitely. So one of the first ones that comes to mind is Erdic and ITL's work with the B-52 engine retrofit program. So the B-52s have been around, I don't have the year they they started, but they've been around for a long time. And so over the past few years, the Air Force has been redesigning and recompeting new engines for them to repower them. So at Erdic, we use the computers to help evaluate some of those different engines designs. And that's a unique project, I think, because they use the computers to help evaluate how the engines work. But then ITL also created kind of a ecosystem for the researchers to help them manage their data, communicate with each other. And so it was a much more rich environment than just the computers. And so we supported that engine retrofit. And another recent one that comes to mind is some support for different bomb shelters. In January 7th, 2020, there were some missile strikes on some U.S. forward bases in the Middle East. And so as part of that, Erdic was asked to help design some different types of bomb shelters to help provide blast protection for soldiers in that region. And so Erdic did the work on that. There were, you know, hundreds of HPC simulations to help evaluate those protective structures. And that, you know, that helped both save money, about $80 million over what it would have cost to test all those structures, right? But also have a much faster design cycle to get those structures, you know, out rapidly to the soldiers. And so that was, you know, a great saver of time and money.
How much money was saved?
That was $80 million is how much it would have cost to do all those physical tests.
That's so great. So this year we're celebrating how the labs came together 25 years ago to form one Erdic, one organization of experts across multiple disciplines. How does Erdic collaborate with other laboratories, defense agencies, research institutions, and industry partners in the realm of supercomputing?
Yeah, so I think that's an interesting question because I think the supercomputers are really a great tool for collaboration. You know, we have users at every one of Erdic's laboratories that run on our computers, and so they're widely used tools. And I think what's interesting about the researchers that are using those is they tend to put themselves on teams with researchers at other laboratories that are doing similar types of, you know, computational analysis to them. And so, you know, it's really rare to find just one lab, you know, working on a research project. It's really a great, I think, tool for collaboration across the Erdic. And then with industry partners and research institutions, whenever we're out there talking about partnering with people, we always talk about the computers we have and how they'd be able to work with us on the computers. And it's just a huge draw because this is a resource that not a lot of people have. It takes a lot of money to stand up these centers, to buy the computers, you know, and it's really just something that people that want to work with us look at, you know, is an advantage to working with us.
Okay.
I'm Annette Kirkland. Beyond the Gates continues in a moment. You're listening to News Talk 107.7.
On-time fashions has all a man could want. For men who buy their own clothes and even those that don't, take your man to get some new jeans and a hat. On-time fashions has leisure things like that. They've also got dress shirts and ties and stylish suits and an up-to-date selection of Stacy Adams shoes. Put him by the mirror, tell him with some passion that he should never shop anywhere but On-time fashions. In the same location for 47 years, 1411 Washington Street, downtown, my dears. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 to 5. Be on time with On-time fashions.
It's Breakfast with Santa time, sponsored by McDonald's. Tickets are $7 per person and include a delicious breakfast, photos with Santa, souvenirs, and Home Depot kids workshop and activities. All the fun begins Saturday, December 2nd at the Vicksburg Convention Center. Event sponsored in part by McDonald's of Vicksburg, Bella La Vita Photography, Express Personnel, Golding Barge Line, Eagle Ridge Development LLC, Terry Services, the Home Depot Kids Workshop, and Maynard Landscaping. You can get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com or call 630-2929.
Welcome back to Beyond the Gates. You're listening to News Talk 107.7.
So if you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Dr. Ben Parsons. He's the director of the Erdic DoD Supercomputing Resource Center with the Information Technology Laboratory, otherwise known as ITL. And we're talking about the power of Erdic supercomputing. So can you tell me about new technologies or innovations that the DSRC is implementing? And how do you ensure that your technology remains on the cutting edge?
Absolutely. So, you know, I think computers are constantly advancing. You know, they're always getting faster and faster. New technologies are coming out. So in the center, we have a two-year refresh cycle on the computer. So we don't get rid of them after 2 years, but every 2 years we bring in another supercomputer. And so right now we're bringing in a new one called Carpenter. It's about to be accepted in a few weeks here, hopefully. And so that one has almost 300,000 cores, almost 10 petaflops of compute capability. And so
you're speaking in language that it's so big that you're using phrases of I've never heard of computer system that big before because I don't even know what that means. Yeah. Can you explain like how you're describing how big it is? Is there a way to simplify that for those listening and for myself?
Yeah, absolutely. I started kind of going off there. But no, with the compute cores, you know, you might look at your laptop and a lot of them will have 8 or 16 cores.
Okay.
And that's really just one compute unit that can kind of sit there and do math on its own independently. And so, you know, this has almost 300,000 of those. And so, you know, it's considerably more,
right,
more math you're able to crank out with it.
Okay.
And in terms of petaflops, that's just a unit of how many basically floating point operations you can do per second. And so floating point operation is like a decimal multiplication. So you think of like 64 digits with a decimal point in the middle, multiply that by another one. They can do, you know, 9 billion of those every second.
Okay.
So.
Okay. That's better. That's better. So how do you ensure, again, that the technology remains on the cutting edge? I mean, how do you know, like, okay, it's time to get that new computer, and what happens to the old supercomputer?
So we have a constant refresh cycle, you know, of the systems. Every 2 years we're getting a new one, and that means, you know, we have a number on the floor. Right now we currently have, I'm going to have to look at my list, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 supercomputers on the floor. You know, the oldest one is about to reach the end of the life. That one dates back to 2014 is when we got it. But then every 2 years we've gotten a new one. Each one of those kind of, a lot of times they have different flavors. The newest one is going to be focused on kind of our traditional compute and CPUs. The one we got before that was focused more on some of our AI, ML, and data users. So it had a lot more GPUs, and the storage system was designed differently.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the things you hear, like with the image detection, you know, within pictures or some of the large language models that people are talking about now, those types of things can be programmed on supercomputers. And so this one is really targeted more toward that workflow than some of our traditional workflows.
Okay, so it's so funny because I think a lot of people think, oh, there's just a supercomputer. Not that there's a bunch of supercomputers. You know what I'm saying? It's like the supercomputer, you know, I don't know. Not thinking that it's plural. So that's good to know that there's more than one.
There's quite a few, and we've been seeing more and more demand, so we're hoping to, you know, be capable of hosting more and more in the future.
So high-performance computing system at ERDC has always had interesting naming mechanisms. For example, being named after precious minerals and gemstones such as topaz. ERDC recently updated its naming commission. The commission now honors a Mississippi Medal of Honor recipient. And I understand we have a brand new system, as you just alluded to, that will be celebrated soon. Can you tell us about this new system's namesake?
Yeah, that's right. So in the past few years, we did change the way we named the systems, and they're now named after Mississippi Medal Honors winners. And so the next system that is going to be put in production is named Carpenter. And that's after William Kyle Carpenter. He was a corporal in the U.S. Marines. He was born in Jackson, Mississippi, raised in Flowood. And he's actually the youngest living Medal of Honor recipient right now.
Wow.
So he got his Medal of Honor award while in Afghanistan. And I'll read the citation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here. So while serving in Afghanistan, the enemy initiated a daylight attack with hand grenades, one of which landed inside their sandbag position. Without hesitation and with complete disregard for his own safety, Lance Corporal Carpenter moved toward the grenade in an attempt to shield his fellow Marines from the deadly blast. When the grenade detonated, his body absorbed the brunt of the blast, severely wounding him, but saving the life of his fellow Marine. Yeah, no, we're really excited about the name of the system. We're going to officially kind of do the ribbon cutting December 12th.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually going to come down for that, him and his family. So we're really, really excited about it.
It's all what we're talking about in our office in public affairs. We're very excited about it also. So what would you like listeners to learn from this valuable conversation?
I guess the main takeaways are just the computers provide a great resource for research and developers across the DoD. ERDC manages the center not just for its own researchers, but it's really one of the DoD DSRCs. And so people across the DoD use these systems to help, their research projects, help develop better weapon systems to support the warfighter. And that's really, I think, a service that ERDC provides, the DoD above and beyond, some of the baseline stuff at ERDC.
Okay. Well, Dr. Parsons, thank you so much for being here, and I hope you come back again sometime.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for listening to Beyond the Gates, a tradition of innovation, and we'll come back at you next week. Have a great day.
The U.S. Army Engineer Research and Development Center, or ERDC, is the premier research and development center for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Hello, I'm Carol Coleman, and I would like to share with you how ERDC makes the difference. Established in 1998, the ERDC is home to more than $1 billion worth of world-class facilities located in 7 laboratories and multiple field sites across the country. The organization's main campus is situated on the historic Waterways Experiment Station in Vicksburg, Mississippi, and consists of the Coastal Hydraulics Laboratory, the Environmental Laboratory, the Geotechnical and Structures Laboratory, and the Information Technology Laboratory. ERDC also operates 3 laboratories not located on the West Campus, including the Construction Engineering Research Laboratory in Champaign, Illinois, the Cold Regions Research and Engineering Laboratory in Hanover, New Hampshire, and the Geospatial Research Laboratory in Alexandria, Virginia. Each laboratory has their own unique mission and operates as integrated teams of engineers and scientists to address a broad range of science and technology issues. The Coastal and Hydraulics Laboratory, or CHL, addresses an entire spectrum of water resource challenges. Their mission is to deliver solutions to our nation's most challenging coastal and hydraulics problems. As part of the CHL, the Field Research Facility, or FRF, is a U.S. Army Corps of Engineers field site located in Duck, North Carolina. The cornerstone of the FRF's contribution to coastal research has been its long-term data measurements that stretch back to 1977. The long-term measurements have made the property one of the best studied beaches in the world. Providing solutions for tomorrow's environmental challenges, the Environmental Laboratory, or EL, is ERDC's primary center for ecosystem science, ecosystem technology, and environmental resiliency research. The laboratory is home to the Aquatic and Wetlands Ecosystem Research and Development Center and the Hazardous Waste Research Center. ERDC's Geotechnical and Structures Laboratory, or GSL, supports our nation's defense, security, public safety, and infrastructure. GSL is home to the world's largest heavy vehicle simulator, the Centrifuge Research Facility, and the Advanced Blast Load Simulator. In today's fast-paced digital environment, the Information Technology Laboratory, or ITL, provides innovative solutions to solve the nation's most complex and challenging IT and computational issues. The laboratory's Supercomputing Resource Center is one of only 5 Department of Defense computing centers operated by the DoD High Performance Computing Modernization Program. For more than 50 years, ERDC's Construction Engineering Research Laboratory, or CERL, has supported the Army's ability to design, build, operate, and maintain its installations and contingency bases. Located in Champaign, Illinois, the laboratory is home to the Triaxial Earthquake and Shock Simulator. ERDC's Cold Regions Research and Engineering Laboratory, or CREL, delivers environmentally relevant and transformative engineering solutions to test, evaluate, and improve infrastructure and equipment, particularly for use in cold regions. Located in Hanover, New Hampshire, the laboratory is home to the Frost Effects Research Facility, the largest refrigerated warehouse in the United States. The Permafrost Tunnel Research Facility is a U.S. Army Corps of Engineers field site operated and maintained by Erdex Crail. The tunnel, located just outside Fairbanks, Alaska, is a unique natural research facility with features up to 40,000 years old. Erdex Geospatial Research Laboratory, or GRL, located in Alexandria, Virginia, serves as the Geospatial Research and Development Laboratory of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. GRL is the only dedicated geospatial research and development laboratory in the entire Department of Defense. As the premier research and development center for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, ERDEC has unique, world-class equipment and facilities. To learn more how ERDEC discovers, develops, and delivers innovative solutions to the nation's toughest challenges, be sure to listen to Beyond the Gates on News Talk FM 107.7 on Thursdays at 8:15 a.m. and 9:10 a.m. Or check out past shows on vicksburgradio.com. We discuss exciting research with representatives from one of the seven ERDEC laboratories, and they describe how their projects are important to the community, the region, and the nation. Again, I'm Carol Coleman with ERDEC. Thanks for listening.